Blog Talk Radio.
Today is October 29th, 2009, Thursday, the Thursday before Halloween. So tonight is our Halloween special. This is Doug Kelly, your host, here with Grant Rubendunst. Hey, Grant.
Hey, everybody. Happy Hallow's Eve.
Halloween.
Yeah, yes. Hallow's Eve. We're getting closer and closer.
Yeah, years gone fast, as they always do, especially as you get older. And so we thought tonight we would just do some stuff around the Halloween theme and other things. In fact, we've got several joining us tonight to make things a little more interesting. We have, of course, our own Mike Jones, who hosts the program once a month. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing?
All right.
Good. And we also have Paranexus board member Dave Desjardins with us tonight, hailing from the Great White North in Canada. Hey, Dave.
G'day from Canada.
All right.
As always.
And nice to have you.
Last, but by no means least, we have Diane Frola from Australia. Hey, Diane.
I think she's having some Skype issues.
Temporary technical difficulties.
Let me get Diane back on the line. I thought her icon looked a little funky. Hey, Diane, you there?
Yeah, I'm here now. I
just introduced you, said a lot of cool things about you, really made you look very important, so now you can just say hello.
Hi. Hello, folks. How's it going?
Welcome to the show, Diane. Nice
Welcome
to have you.
Yeah, sorry you dropped.
Hi, guys.
Hey, it's good to have you. Now, Diane, since our listeners probably don't know a lot about you, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do in Australia?
Well, in Australia, I'm into UFOs. I'm into a lot of things, but we'll go to UFOs and ghosty things. I have a UFO network called AUFAUN, which has lots of investigators around Australia that investigate UFOs all the time. We have a free call number, which is 1-800-77-2288, and that's been going now for, I think it's turning over on the 12th years.
Wow.
So, can you hear me?
Yep. Can you hear us?
Yeah. So.
Sound good.
We investigate UFOs, and then when I'm not investigating UFOs, I investigate the ones that send the UFOs up.
Good people.
Oh, hello, Dave.
How are you, Diane?
Good.
All right.
Hey, Diane, I have a question for you. Do you guys down under have the equivalent of an Area 51?
Yeah, it's called Pine Gap.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I thought you guys had actually moved all your technology to Australia because it got a little quiet over in the States and it was peaking over here, so.
Yeah, who knows?
Well, you guys were really leading the research on, like, the Ramjet, or the trying to remember the name of it, where it's like the hyperdrive kind of vehicle now. The Australians were really leading the way with some of the Americans. I can't remember, but you put it on the top of a missile and it's a scramjet.
Mm.
High shot is what it was called.
There's
a lot of research.
We actually do lots of testing of aircraft down there. Well, we did a lot of the scientists used to come over.
Cool.
Oh, hi, Dave.
No, Dave's, nobody said anything, just you.
Yeah, so a lot of these aeronautical scientists used to come over and you know, work down at a place near Maralinga. There's a big rocket launching station there.
Now, was there a lot of sightings in Australia compared to, I don't know, say the United States? Well, I know there's not a great deal in Canada, not as many as the States and Europe, but
yeah.
Do you get a lot of reports down there?
Yes, we do. We get heaps of reports. We get reports every day of something flying around. But then again, you've got to sort of like put your thinking hat on and say, well, a lot of what people see, they may not be able to identify, but that doesn't necessarily mean it can't be identified. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, we have a lot of things get seen, but then again, we get a lot of things that we can identify. So there's only a small percentage that can't be identified.
Diane, have you, are any of the folks down under experienced the black triangles?
Oh, yes. I love the black triangles.
Well,
right.
Tell us about what's going on down under.
Especially when they're seen by policemen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That almost seems to be universal.
Yeah, we do get lots of black triangles.
Well, let's do this, because I want to hear about all that stuff, and let's talk about our Halloween stuff, and then let's segue into you know some UFO reports from down under and all that. Does that sound okay with you guys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who has anything to say about Halloween?
Well,
Halloween.
I don't know about.
I like the lollies.
I hope you guys have all dragged all your bones out into the backyard for that huge fire we're going to make out of them.
Oh, bonfire!
Yeah. Bonfire, bone fire.
I would like to add. I would like to add that I am extremely disappointed to the people in the chat room. They told me this was a costume party tonight, so I dressed up, and nobody else has. So I guess it's okay.
Well, I put the makeup on, but I don't have a camcorder.
All right.
I paid for some candy.
So let's talk just briefly anyway about Halloween. We obviously this time of year is very big for the public. They get their focus drawn to the ghosts and all that sort of thing this time of year, and a lot of different groups who are involved in hauntings are called upon by the media to appear and yada yada and on and on. Well, you know, how does Halloween differ, if it does, in different parts of the world? And Dave, what do you all do up in Canada for Halloween? Typical trick or
treating? Typical stuff. Trick or treating. We got the pumpkins. We got army bases. Where I am, it's a little bit different. You get the hot ciders and stuff like that coming out for the adults that are escorting the wee ones around. But other than that, no, it's pretty much standard.
Cool. How about you, Diane? How does Halloween? How do you guys do Halloween down there?
Well, Halloween in Australia has become very American.
Damn Americans!
Trick or treating, and you know, you've got the kids wandering up the street trick or treating, and you know, what do? The kids get a little disappointed these days if you don't throw cash at them, you know.
Oh, really? So we graduate from candy to cash.
It doesn't need to be the candy that's really important. It's like,
you can have candy, I want cash.
Yeah, don't tell the kids. Oh, don't eat the candy, just give me the cash.
You know,
your car keys, please.
I think I'll go out trick-or-treating this Saturday.
No doubt. Well,
you know,
they'll get you for bugging, Doug.
I'm English, and I used to love Guy Fawkes. I mean, the treacle toffee. I don't know whether you ever know of that. Treacle toffee?
No.
And that's what they used to make. They used to make treacle toffee, put it in a bag, and that's what they used to hand out as the sweets, the treacle toffee.
Oh, that sounds good.
It was yummy. I mean, probably in the States you feed treacle to your cows, but in England we make toffee out of it.
So you're from England, then, not from Australia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
then you Then you got your old clothes and you had to make the best Guy Fawkes. You know, you had to have legs and feet and shoes and hands and head and, you know, and then you'd sew a face on him, and then you had to make a trolley for him to sit on, and then you'd go up the street, not just with a bag of lollies. You didn't have a bag of lollies. You got lollies or a couple of pence if you had the best Guy Fawkes, the guy that you're going to burn on the bonfire. Okay.
I like
it. Remember the song Guy Fawkes, guys?
Yeah,
you know, stick him on a bonfire there, let him die. Do you remember him? He was going to blow up this place in England.
Yes.
He was a revolutionary. He was like a, was he a Catholic? Because it, I think it was like during that time when the Protestants and the Catholics were fighting, right? Guy something or other.
Mm. But, it, you know, that's what Guy Fawkes was for me, because I used, you know, we used to have so much fun making this thing, this effigy of a man, you know, the Guy Fawkes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd sit him on a big bonfire and then we'd light him up. And then we'd fire fireworks in the sky, you know. That's before they got banned from the start bushfires, but, you know, that's what it meant to me.
That's funny. All right, so we still have...
Compete with each other, you know, because the better the Guy Fawkes, the more money you used to get. We used to get money. Not lollies.
Wow.
We used to give the lolly to the people who gave us the money. You just hope they made good treacle toffee, but...
Well, we still have one other country represented here. Mike, how's Halloween done in Arkansas?
Oh, it's pretty much just the trick or treat thing, man.
I would just kid
trick
you,
or
Mike.
Treat.
That's
what... We love you, Mike.
Do you know what I see when I see on television, though, Mike, is all the people, there's just so many people wandering around the streets dressed up trick-or-treating. I mean, how can you afford it?
Well, it's more like Christmas, I guess, for us here. You know, the parents really go out and spend a lot of money on the children.
Oh.
Yeah, and the kids are picky now.
Oh,
kids are picky about what candy they get.
Oh, yeah,
you've
got to be either Star Wars, G.I. Joe, all that stuff, you know.
A trick-or-treat Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. They dress up in Star Wars costumes.
Yeah.
The trick-or-treating.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dave, how's that nurse outfit working
for you? You're not supposed to be reading that, Doug.
Put that in the chat room. For the nurse outfit.
I think your skirt's a little too tight, though.
I don't want you shaving your legs,
there,
Dave.
Yeah. You know where all the action is.
Dave's not telling you.
Yeah, happy Halloween.
Killing us. All right, so Halloween, ancient origins. Grant, you mentioned that earlier.
Well, I know it's actually, I think it's based, I'm not the expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I know it's, you know, it was based on a lot of pagan rituals, and I think Diane could probably, you know, verify that to some degree. And, you know, also on the fall harvest, you know, everything was getting ready to head into winter, and it was pretty dismal times. And I also think that they also used to, it was similar to the Mexican Day of the Dead, where they, you know, kind of like dragged the bones out and burned the bones of the dead. And so it's got a long history, but I think there's a lot of elements from ancient history and culture that have been kind of combined with the holiday.
Yeah, definitely. And
you have a holiday?
Well, it's not a holiday off work, but I mean, we consider it a holiday, you know, because of the kids, and it used to be a lot bigger than it is now, and then certain costumes became politically incorrect.
Yeah, like nurse outfits.
I was going to go there, Doug. Since you insist, nurse outfits, Dave, I mean, we frowned upon it.
Of course, you know, men can be nurses, too. I mean,
that's
sure, they have male nurse outfits. Helping you out there, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Doug.
Poor Diane. She gets getting dropped off Skype. Let me try her again here. So, yeah, we want to get her back on and talk about some of this other stuff. You know, one of the things, of course, that's associated with Halloween is, you know, the ghouls and goblins and demons and so and stuff. And Dave, you had written an article about that. I don't know if how much you remember from it, but
if you call that an article or a mini novel.
Yeah, it was actually geez, like a thesis or a doctoral paper.
I mean, 38 pages long or something like that.
Yeah. So give us a little bit of the background on that. Demonology or demons or names too.
I won't go through all their names. That's longer than any one of the books we have.
That's 36 pages, right.
But, I mean, the history of demons and evil entities, it goes back as far as, you know, people writing on clay tablets. Every, being a theology minor, every culture throughout the world has some mention of them. Buddhism, Christianity, Greek demonology, Tibetan, Jewish, you name it, it's there. So it's no wonder that it's ingrained in our culture today. It's, you know, it's something that everybody at some point grows up with. You know, don't do that or you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And, you know, it's, for the most part, you know, the stories are pretty much the same. The names are different. Descriptions are different. But it's all, from what I've been able to tell, it all looks like, you know, one story runs into another, runs into another, runs into another.
Yep. And, you know, of course, it's just so interwoven in superstition in a time when people didn't know how to explain things.
Exactly.
Well, also, it's an integral part of religion. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
It was a way the institution could have forced rules and actually, I'm going to climb on my soapbox and climb right back down. But it was a way to control people too. You know, if you thought life, think of a medieval person. You know, out there plowing the fields or doing whatever for his lord, his feudal lord, and, you know, he may not be the brightest person in the whole world, but one of the ways they could certainly enforce you staying in line would be to tell you, you know what, if you don't behave, now you'll go to hell or we'll sick a demon on you or something along those lines, and my gosh, life was hard enough as it is during medieval times, so, I mean, that's a powerful enforcer. Think of what it meant to be like, what's the word for it when you're, you know, when you're thrown out of the church?
Excommunicated.
You know? Yeah, excommunicated. You know, there was no place for you to go except straight to hell.
Yeah, I was excommunicated once from Jehovah's Witnesses.
But it's just a powerful thing. Wouldn't you agree on that, Dave?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean,
there's a whole pantheon of like, various demons and spirits and, you know.
Jen and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of it goes all the way back to the Babylonians and some of the gods.
Oh, absolutely. Like I say, right back to early ancient times. Look at hieroglyphics. You know, there's mentions of gods and devils there. I mean, the Egyptians were highly, highly religious in their belief of the different gods. And for each god, there's an alter ego that rears its ugly head. But, I mean, there's a common misconception in the paranormal community, too, with a lot of organizations that, you know, not for non-corporeal entities or, you know, spirits that haven't taken a human form or however you want to classify it. You know, a lot of people believe that any non-corporeal entity is malicious, that the spotting of a shadow person is malicious just because, you know, well, they're tall and dark, you know. Ooh, he's wearing a black cowboy hat. He must be a bad guy. You know, I don't know if it's the same everywhere, but I've seen a lot of misconceptions like that. And, you know, just because, okay, yeah, you see a shadow figure, doesn't mean it's bad, you know.
Yeah. Like, it's Diane was telling us that down Australia, there's not quite the number of groups. Is that right, Diane?
Yeah, we don't have a great deal of groups here in Australia.
What's the consensus or the feeling on some of these different things, like Dave was talking about, shadow people, the concept of demons, you know, malevolent spirits in Australia? I mean, is that a thing that's on the top of people's minds, researchers, or... Oops, we lost her again. Damn. Poor Diane.
Well, it is Halloween, you know. Even Skype is affected by Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah, poor Diane.
Hello, I'm back again.
Oh, all right.
I have no idea what's going on here. 1 minute I'm on, then I'm on.
I mean, last time we were talking for, what, an hour?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the stars of the atmosphere or something. You know, Skype goes a little haywire.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't blame it on me using the Ouija board, Grant.
I won't do it this time, Doug.
Oh, hang on, my mouth is moving. Come back to your mouth.
So you were saying, Diane, that there's not...
There's not very many groups in Australia. There'd be about 10 that of the main groups in Australia that have been here a long time. There's only a few paranormal groups that I'm aware of that do actually do paranormal research. With the shadow people, there's been a lot of reports of the shadow entities in Australia. It seemed to be at one time peaking, where everybody was reporting seeing shadowy figures wandering around in their home. You know, so I've even seen it myself. So it's not. I do believe that these things are sort of like here around.
Well, speaking of shadow figures, Sharon has a question in the chat. Does Diane have any knowledge of that guy on YouTube who's pretty much crazy?
I think I know who Sharon's
talking about. Isn't there a lot of guys on YouTube that are crazy? Which one's she talking about?
Oh, you know, the guy with the orbs and the faces and the orbs.
Yeah,
Well, what can I say?
Yeah, because he had tried contacting you and told us those crazy Americans wouldn't. No, he said there's some people that do believe him up here. I know there are.
Well, there's always going to be people that believe. There's always going to be people that believe anybody.
Yeah, there's no getting around that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, well, Diane, what's your...
Not on yet, Grant.
Oh, she's off again? Okay.
Yeah, just going to keep watching it and try to...
I'm back again. Yeah.
Right.
I have no idea why this Blog Talk Radio is dropping out as much as it is, because it hasn't done that before.
It's Skype. The Skype gods are not smiling on us tonight. Or not smiling on you. It's probably because, you know, Grant, there's your opportunity. She's probably been playing with Ouija board.
Quite possibly.
I did do that once. Hey.
There you
get your hands off me.
You opened a portal, huh, Diane?
Huh? Well, put it this way, the glass flew across the room.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
There's some PK event for
There's
you.
Some PK, yeah.
And it actually said, as it was, you know, before it sort of took off, it spelt out my brother's name. I want, my brother. And I go, I said, well, you can't have him. And then the glass, I mean, I was only a teenager. It raised up off the Ouija table, a board that we'd made, and it just flew across the room.
That'd be cool.
And smashed against the wall. And we're in a two-story house, and we hightailed it down to the kitchen, shut the door, and we're going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And John's going, tell Mum. No, if we tell Mum, she'll belt us. He's not supposed to be playing with a Ouija board. So we were kind of stuck. We're stuck with a ghost who was cranky. Do we take on Mum, who was about to smash us around the backside for playing?
Take your chances with a ghost.
Who would you take a chance with?
Man, you're on the horns of a dilemma.
Yeah, I know. It's just the choices of.
So Diane, I have a question about a couple. I, a couple million questions I'd like to ask you about UFOs down in Australia.
Be careful we don't drop out. Don't take.
I'll monitor it.
If I drop out, it's not that I'm ignoring the question.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, what would you say is the most exciting and best documented case of UFO sightings down in down under? And the second question is, what, if any, experience have you had with folks who have claimed to have been abducted?
Okay. First question, what is the most exciting case of a touchdown, you could say, would be
touchdown.
Landing, sorry. That would happen. To be a lady that I spoke to, for me, which was really, really interesting, was a lady that I spoke to in North Queensland who was living out on a farm with her husband, and she was caretaking this property in up near a little town called Boolya. And she had this massive, massive big orange object come down in the yard, and it was so big that it left a burn mark on the ground. And it was reported, and it got reported. I mean, this is way back. But the lady that I spoke to, she was untainted by a lot of the, you know, the UFO stuff. Like, she hadn't actually gone out to investigate herself what it was all about. So she's very fresh. And Bill Chalker, who's written a book called The Oz Files, he knows the lady, and he's had a really good chat with her. And it's really interesting because all the authorities got called out because there was a big, big burn patch in the crop, and it's called sorghum. I don't know if you know sorghum, the crop.
Yep, we do, sure.
It's very hard and bristle anyway. It doesn't kind of, you can't flatten it, or, you know, quite easily, as you can with wheat and that. And so that's only one. I mean, we've had a number of really interesting cases. Did you want to know the most recent? Or?
Well, just the one that stands out in your mind is probably the most remarkable, whether it's, you know, close encounters of a third kind.
Okay. The most remarkable would be to most Australians here in Australia would probably be the Tully incident, which the Tully incident was a cane farmer who heard a noise, went outside and went down towards his creek where the noise was coming from, and he saw the flying saucer actually lift off his little dam that he had in the reed, you know, and it was just above the reeds, and it lifted off and it took off. And it not only happened once, it happened a few times, and he was lucky enough to actually get it on film. But the sad part about that film is
it was Dave. Go ahead, keep going.
Oh, it was Dave.
Oh, sure, blame me this time.
You gotta do something with your mic.
Stop that, Dave. I was just getting on a roll. And where are you?
We're listening, Diane.
Go ahead. He's got to fix this. Yeah. Go ahead.
So if you actually go into Google and type in Tully Nest, you'll come up with a lot of information about that, that it was the most significant sighting of its time because there was so much evidence. There was the reeds, there was the multiple sightings in the area. From that, if you're going to an abduction, you'd have to look at Kelly Carl's case. She actually was traveling home down the highway, and she was abducted by a spacecraft, and she was all over the TV, you know, the Kelly Cahill's case. And then there was another prior to her, which was the Longley case, which is on my site, under the abduction story site. There's just so much happens here.
Yeah.
It's hard to really say that one better than the other because they're all unique in their own right.
You were telling us about that. I'm not sure if it's the same case, but wasn't in Weaver or Weaver Field or what was it? last night you were telling us about that case?
Beaverfield.
Beaver?
Not.
Well, that experience you were telling us last night, that you guys were driving out in the middle of nowhere and...
Oh, you want to know about that?
Yeah. What is it? What
Weeper.
Place is that?
Weeper.
Okay.
Weeper, yeah. Oh, that's
okay.
My own thing.
Weeper, same difference.
Yes. No, it's not.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I do these crazy things like a lot of investigators do. You go look for UFOs, but, you know, we go on road trips. And I had it, my friend and I decided that we were just, you know, going to swag it, which I don't know whether you know what swagging is.
No.
It's when you actually sleep out in the open inside, like a sleeping bag, but it's made for outside the weather and that. Anyway, we were going to go look at what they call a dinosaur museum, and it's right out in the middle of nowhere where, no, like I told you, no one can hear you scream, and if you did scream, they still not hear you anyway.
No one can hear you scream.
Yeah. Huh? They can't.
That's
yeah.
Like a good Halloween thing.
Oh, no, if you want to get really, really scared, watch a movie called Wolf Creek. That's very scary.
Wolf Creek.
Very scary.
You guys were...
Anyway, what happened was we're heading, like, you know the old saying, women aren't really good with Rephidexes. They really don't know how to read the map that well unless they, you know, yeah. Well, anyway, I had a navigator.
A macho. That's it. Macho.
Yeah, I had a navigator anyway. Anyway, she's navigating, and she assured me at the end of this road we'd get a campsite. And I said, yeah, well, okay, because it's one way in and one way out, and it was a heck of a long way in and a heck of a long way back out, if you went, you know. Anyway, we headed down the road, and it's a dirt road, and it's pretty rutted because of, you know, it's an old road. Not a lot of people do go down there. And anyway, you get to a point in the road where do you keep going or do you turn back? And we've gone past the point of no return because it was getting dark. And a couple of girls in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of the bush in the dark, were thinking, well, we have no choice but to keep going. Anyway, off to the right of me, what caught my eye was a glow in the sky. And Vivian says to me, you know, what's up? And that's because I started, like, we were going pretty slow as it is because of the ruts in the road. I said, there's something out there. And anyway, this big, massive orange ball started coming down towards the, you know, to come right over the top of the car. I stopped the car. My girlfriend's going, don't! And I'm, don't stop the car. I said, I can't drive and look at it. So I stopped the car, I opened the car door, and she's yelling, get back in the car, you're going to get abducted. And this massive big ball of light with spikes on it. Mm. I mean, it couldn't possibly, I mean, it didn't have wings. It had spikes. It had a spike on the top, and it had a spike on the bottom, and I'm standing there gobsmacked. And as it went over the car, the whole area glowed a bright yellowy, you know, glow. It gave off this big glow, and it just kept going, and it just slowly went past. You know, it was amazing.
I bet.
Yeah, and then my friend gets out of the car, and she's looking at going off in the distance. She's going, okay, we better get going now. Anyway, we head down the road, and we get to the end of the road, and there's no campsite.
Wow.
No campsite, no shower, no water, but we did get to the dinosaur place. And I don't know, I told you about that last night. Do you want me to tell them?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. We get down to the end of the road and we get to what we call now, we've driven into National Park. And in Australia, unless there's a designated camping area, you're not allowed to camp. So it's dark now. And I go and bang on the window of the, you know, on the sliding glass door. And and scare the heck out of the man who's sitting in his chair, who pops up, start quite surprised, and he's in his undies. And he's like, oh, you know, you can imagine the hands are going, oh, who's this?
In the middle of nowhere and unexpectedly.
Can you tell me where the campsite is? And then he goes, oh, there isn't one. I went, oh, damn. And then he says, and I said, and by the way, I said, he says, oh, by the way, he says, did you see that UFO that flew over earlier? Because, you know, we were pretty far away from on the road. And he goes, I said, yeah, we did. I said, you saw it too. And anyway, then he starts telling us about all the strange goings on out in that Weeper area, you know, other than the dinosaurs, there's all these lights, that orbs, oh, no, sorry, lights.
that must have been great comfort,
sorry,
guys.
Sorry,
that travel over the top of the rims of the hills and they do loop the loops, you know, like go up and they'll kind of go around in a loop and then they'll just fly off and then they'll come back. And he had amazing stories to tell. Anyway, what we ended up doing, we ended up camping on the edge of a runway in
there's
the dark.
Out there.
Yeah, a dirt one. You know, like you see on the TV?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you watch very much of what happens here in Australia, how we have our dirt runways, you know, with the flying doctors flying in and that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we go out onto the runway with our swag.
Yeah, you guys must have been pretty excited at that point after all the stories he told you.
Oh, we were. But I was excited, but my other friend was quite like, ooh.
Kind of apprehensive?
And I said, she can't go anywhere. There's nowhere to go. I said, we can go back on that dirt road. I said, but then again, if we go back on the dirt road, we might encounter that big orange thing again. So I said, it's either we sleep on the end of the runway or we take our chances with the big orange thing. And she said, we'll stay on the runway. I'd rather on the runway. Anyway, when we get to the runway, that's another story. We pitch up our swags and in the pitch black, and then we're, you know, sitting, lying in our swags, sort of like with our little torches. And she said, but she couldn't sleep, and I couldn't sleep. And then I hear her, like, oh, what's that? And I said, what? She goes, those eyes out in the bush out there. I said, what eyes? She goes, those eyes out in the bush. Look, two eyes looking at us. And I said, oh, it's probably a big kangaroo. And she goes, no, it's high up. And I said, well, maybe it's standing on a ridge. She goes, no. And she gets a torch and she's flashing a torch over and couldn't see anything. Anyway, I don't know why we didn't panic or anything about those eyes being there, but it was almost like we just relaxed and went to sleep. And in the morning, she gets up and she goes, I've got to go check out where those eyes were. So she goes over to the runway. She's looking to see where the eyes were. And from where I was near the flag, she was pointing to where the eyes were. They must have been about 10 to 15 feet off the ground. Now, I've never seen a kangaroo that big before. You know, it was quite high up. So, obviously, what it was, there was something in the bush that was actually looking at us. But it was like almost above the trees.
So, you estimate 10 to 12 feet tall?
Oh, yeah, easy. Easy, yeah.
Wow.
Obviously, we didn't stay there another night.
So the orange ball never came back?
No, we never saw the orange ball again on the way out because we left in the daytime. But we did have quite a few conversations the next day when we had to look at the dinosaur run with the caretaker, who was quite all nicely dressed and, you know, spruced up this time. I apologized. And I said, don't apologize. I said, if we turn up at night, I said, what do you expect?
Yeah,
he told us some really interesting stories about the things that he has seen out there when he's been on his own. He's, you know, spacecraft. He called them spacecraft. He says, it can't be anything but that.
Mm.
He said, you know, the way that they move, it was amazing.
Did he mention anything at all about anything that could be 10 or 12 feet tall?
Well, we mentioned about the eyes in the bush, and he just kind of looked at us. and I sort of looked back at him, and I said, oh, yeah, you probably... And I made a bit of a joke of it. I said, it's probably one of those roaming dinosaurs or something.
So,
and Vicky said, yeah, weren't they flesh eaters?
So do you have any missing time?
Not that we're aware of, not that time out there, no.
So our abductions, I don't know if you answered this or if I'm just repeating Grant's question, but are abductions a big phenomenon in Australia?
Yeah, there's a lot of people do claim to be been abducted by a spacecraft or had encounters with aliens. Yeah. It does happen as often as it does happen over in the States. So it's not something that's totally, you know, unique.
Right.
To,
what are they reporting as far as what type of alien?
Well, they do report that little grey fella with the big eyes, and they also report, like, people, not just, you know, like people that look like us that are tall but they're blonde with big blue eyes. One actually was short with red curly hair that he looked almost like a cartoon character. But then again, you've got to think about these beings are able to manipulate what they really want you to see.
That's it.
No?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep,
absolutely.
Yeah. So you could be looking at something which is totally not exactly what you think it is. I mean, it could be like the alien of the Independence Day, but then he could be projecting an image of what he really wants you to see him as so that you're not so frightened of it.
Yeah, and they,
right?
they seem to be capable of doing it on a neurobiological level,
yeah.
You know, where they can control the actual responses and, you know, they create illusions. I agree with you 100%, Diana, in that. They give it what's most palatable to our mind. And, like, think of the instance where children have been abducted, where they see teddy bears or animals that are things that come across as innocuous. So, you know, that's a very interesting part about the abduction phenomenon.
I mean, it's no less traumatic to some people, you know, just having it portrayed in that manner, you know. I mean, some people do have a very traumatic experience at being abducted by, you know, somebody from outer space or wherever they come from.
There's a question in the chat room. Anyone?
Yeah, I'm trying to get to the chat room. It's a little bit on the slow side here.
Yeah, Block Talk Reviews. The question is, anyone report a letter C on their back?
A C? You mean like a letter C that's been kind of inscribed or burnt into
I'm not
the body.
Sure,
so people do actually report that they've had certain symbols placed on the body. I wouldn't say particularly a letter C, but I have seen people that have got like marks on their bodies that could be perceived as symbols. I suppose it depends.
I haven't heard of anything that says symbols, but I have heard of the things that would be comparable to, like, when we do biopsies, you know, like a scoop
biopsy.
Yeah,
the only thing that I can imagine the C would be coming from is, like, an instrument that does, like, a sharp cut biopsy, you know, like, takes a bit of a biopsy skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a biopsy punch, yeah.
Yeah, like a punch, but not quite the round full. Yeah. And
so what do you think their agenda is, Diane?
Pardon?
What do you think their agenda is?
Well, this is their agenda. It's only my opinion. People have their own opinions of it. I think their agenda may be watching us more so like a human herd, seeing what we actually are evolving into. the tests that they do on us, maybe they do the same as what we do on our animals, test them for chemicals, see how their environment's affecting them, you know, see if we can breed them, if it's capable of experimentation.
A giant biology experiment.
Yeah, I mean, but that's my opinion. From a lot of the research that I've done, a lot of the evidence points to mostly that. I mean, they use this, like, imagery of the love and light and, you know, people that are here to save the world. Well, I think you're doing a very good job at the moment.
It seems to be that, you know,
it's like we're one big experiment. That's how I feel. I mean, if they think that they're breeding us to make a better race, that's going to be very difficult to have a race where that doesn't fight, that doesn't, you know, that shares everything, that doesn't need to be in control. I mean, there's always going to be a controller no matter what, because the one that makes the experiment is ultimately the person in control.
Yep. No doubt about
that.
There's
always going to be a superior controller.
Yeah, the old control thing.
Well, I mean, if you look at it where people say that they've had these, you know, divine visions of,
yeah,
you know, how the world's going to be a better place, and we're all going to have that, you know,
power of hope.
Well, we've all got to have hope, otherwise we all sort of crumble, don't we?
Well, I think that particular aspect of the phenomenon, I mean, you can trace that back. That's what people put their significance on it, and that, you know.
Well, that's it. I mean, you've got certain issues. I know I have issues with certain members of the ufology fraternity who consider abductees are ones that get abducted and aren't asked to be abducted, so obviously they're the lower end of the scale. Contactees are the contactee who actually initiates the contact, so they must be some sort of in a different category again. They're sort of chosen, so that if they're chosen, abductees and contactees, they have a different way of looking at things. Eventually,
yeah,
an abductee will change in their mind to become a contactee,
yeah,
because to become a contactee gives you a slight of a feeling of belonging to something, that you're special, that they can't.
How do we know that they're not experiencing what we commonly call the Stockholm syndrome?
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Well, quite a lot of it starts off that way. They have an encounter, and mind's a wonderful thing. I love the brain. I mean, the brain can do all sorts of things and make you believe all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
The Stockholm syndrome is a fine example of loving the abductor, isn't it? Eventually, you actually.
Mike even had some involvement with that, didn't you, Mike? I mean, I mean, you were.
What you became?
Talk about.
Well, like for me, for instance, there was times I was going through. I was actually missing the event. I mean, just like it was a family, like I missed a family get-together kind of feeling. And it's just really odd. It was almost like it's a Pavlovian response to what's normal, you know.
So you've been conditioned.
Yeah,
you've been conditioned to feel that way.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, if it doesn't happen, if you don't get contacted or it doesn't, you don't have a visitation within a certain amount of time, you feel like you've been abandoned.
Well, and
you feel like
wrong,
you're no longer part of that big family of
right.
Which tends to reinforce the whole feeling that it's okay to have the experience.
Right, and so you also go through the emotions.
Yeah, eventually people do come around to thinking that it's okay for them to have that experience.
Oh, I did for years. You know,
think about it from a psychological standpoint, too. Would you rather be called a contactee or an abductee?
Yeah.
Or an experiencer.
Yeah.
A lot of them want to be called experiencers.
Yeah. And, exactly. in my
Yeah, because you've got your abductee, your contactee, and they definitely place themselves in different social standings, that's for sure.
Well, from what I've gathered from all the different people I've talked to and from my own experience, what I have noticed, and this is the foremost thing I've picked up on, is all these people that have decided to recategorize what they're dealing with is a way of dealing with fear. And what they're doing literally is being the ultimate optimist and just dealing with, you know, it's a life coping mechanism, actually, I think, in some extent. But, you know, the truth is, though, you can't deal with it in the long run. You know, these people that are contactees and all, a lot of them become UFO messiahs and actually start running into psychological problems. And it's amazing. It's you know, you'll see them all the time. They pop up all over the internet, you know, talking about they're coming to help us and all this other stuff, and so and so date they're going to show up, but they never do. And you know, it's just it's amazing the way the mind copes with fear, and you know, the back end of what happens to a person.
We're getting Diane back, so. And I think that's a valid issue, you know, that the Stockholm Syndrome, I think, does play a big role. I mean, that's what's so fascinating, and I'll say this again and again, and we've talked about this a lot, and Grant and I have talked about it on the show before, but if you think about it, if what we're really trying to understand is the nature of the human condition and understand humanity better by way of exploring anomalous phenomena, It really doesn't matter, does it? I mean, if all this stuff proves to be true, you know, what an incredible thing. But what if it proves to be untrue, or most of it proves to be untrue? What still an incredible thing. Either way, we learn more about humanity. We learn about the human condition. So either way, we win.
Capacity for imagination is unbounded.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, wow, we lost her again. I got to keep her talking, because whenever she's talking, she doesn't drop out. So we'll get Diane back here. There we go, Diane.
Yeah, I'm back. I was listening. I just got cut off for just a few seconds. I'm getting pretty good at typing.
Are you listening to the program as well?
Actually, I'm listening to you guys talk, but I can't see the program. I haven't opened the browser.
You might
want to chat.
You might want to close the feed on the radio. It might be taking up too much bandwidth.
Yeah, I've got rid of it.
Okay, cool. So,
yeah. So I'm actually just talking through Skype now.
Good.
Yeah, I can see you guys in the chat in case I get cut off again. Yeah.
All right, so we got about seven minutes left, so.
There'll be a lot of people out there that probably disagree with us, you know, but that's fine. I mean.
Sure, that's all right.
People are different.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Yeah, that's one of our strengths, Paranexus, is that, you know, there's room for everybody at the table, and we'll listen to you. We don't, that doesn't mean we're going to agree with you, but we're always willing to listen.
Oh, he's lying. We always agree with everybody.
Yeah, well, not always.
Here's a question from the chat room. Do any abductees here want to stop their experience? Well, you know, that kind of goes hand in hand with... And it's due to some of the chat that's going on in the chat room, but there's contactees and one person says they're a traveler. Not sure what that means yet, but, you know, there's experiencers, there's abductees. You know, does anybody want to, you know, Mike, and you might want to comment on this, you know, a little bit further.
Well, I'll tell you something I've noticed, and this is a really interesting fact Doug and I have been working on the past 2 years with me, and it's confronting your fear. The truth of the matter is, as far as I can tell, the moment you get rid of the fear and the fear response, what ends up happening is you take control back to a lot of extent, and they don't seem to have the same level of mental control over you. So, you know, and I've told Doug this, that, you know, I'm not sure that this is exactly, you know, the answer, but it seems to be at the moment. Everything has really quelled as far as the experiences. You know, it went from being abducted down to every once in a while I'll catch a glimpse of something, but I'm not seeing it, you know, face on like I was. Now, I'm not going to say I can attribute this to, you know, getting rid of the fear completely. You know, enough time has not passed yet, in my opinion, to absolutely say this is the answer. But if I were going to place bets at the racetrack, I would say this is the answer. Let me put it that way to you. You know, things have changed. The whole entire experience changed the moment I got rid of the fear out of the equation. So, you know, that's the main answer, in my opinion.
It's good to be able to, to identify and talk about it as well.
Okay, folks, we dropped off there for a second. We are back now. We're going to get Mike back on.
Hi, I'm back.
Yeah, and Diane, we finally got back. I'm not sure what happened, but everything just dropped out on us.
I know, it's weird, huh?
It's Halloween.
It's Halloween. It's those ghosts are playing with the wires.
It's you ever heard
it's
of the
Canadian. Term? Haint?
Canadian. You know what a haint is, Diane?
No.
Down here, down in the south, U.S., people used to call ghosts haints.
Haint.
H-A-I-N-T.
Haints with an H. That's funny. All right, we are...
It's a ghost.
We're down to our last 3 minutes, guys, and let's start wrapping things up here. It's been a very interesting show. And
yeah, all those people in the chat room, thank you. I can't see you, but if
Mike,
you're there.
Mike, tell them to refresh their player or something, because I think they'll have to.
Yeah, you're just going to have to... everybody will have to refresh the player.
If you'll type in the chat for me.
Yeah.
Interesting show. It's covered a lot of interesting things. Diane, you're an interesting storyteller. We always like that. And but I wanted to take just a minute or so of our remaining time, and I wanted to just kind of bring people up to speed real quick on Paranexus. We, as many know, have become a nonprofit. We are having our tax-exempt paperwork reviewed by a professional nonprofit agency. And so we're about to file that. And so, you know, we encourage people to come to Paranexus, and we encourage you to join. Your membership fees are what helps support us. We're, of course, looking for donations as well. So we appreciate anything you can do. Come on down. We've got a lot of things to offer. We offer web space for members and a number of other benefits. And so, you know, we're looking for that. We're really trying to be a very grounded, reasonable paranormal research community that really gets results. So we encourage you to come and join. Plus, don't forget Paranexus Academy, where you can take courses or even teach courses. So I wanted to do a plug for that. What else we got going? We're exploring the concept of doing a live broadcast in about a month that you can tune into. So,
yeah, tell them a little bit about that, Doug.
We're still working out the details, but we're going to be doing an expedition that involves a Bigfoot expedition, hauntings, and possibly even UFOs. All of it has been cited where we're going. So we're going to try to do a live broadcast over 2 evenings, and we will post the details on paranexus.org. So, love to have you join us.
Oh, that'd be nice. I'd like to come.
Yeah, we'd love to come. But anyway, I wanted to thank Diane for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it.
Hey, and Dave, I'm glad you were able to join us tonight, too.
Oh, it's been great. You know I love it.
Yeah, you do. And Mike, as always, you're great to have on the show. You're great to have on the show. Thanks for joining us tonight. And Grant, as always.
It's always a pleasure. Diana, you'll have to come back and visit us again.
Yeah, we'll have her back.
Yeah, we'll.
Next year. Now, next week, Kevin Costa, board member for Paranexus, is going to be talking about parapsychology. We're out of time, folks. Have a great night. Good night.
Night, everyone.
Night, everybody.
Night, everyone.
Well, great show.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm going to get rid of Blog Talk.
And I don't want to see Arcologic in here again.
Yeah, who the hell's that Arcologic?
Oh, they came in at the last minute, and I haven't even read many of their...
What were they saying? Were they being nasty?
No, 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 no